When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Podcast The Ride, The Second Gate, with my good friends Michael, Scott, and my favorite student, Jason.
Favorite student? What the hell?
What, Barney? That, why not me?
Oh, he's just such a good student is all I'm saying.
Student? Since when do you judge academic abilities?
I'm a teacher now.
kind of a second career.
Yeah.
the show's not going.
My show is canceled.
I thought we were just friends. Why did this power dynamic suddenly shift?
No, I'm in charge now.
The whole show is going to be this play.
Barney's the fourth mic now.
Yeah. Podcast The Ride Second Gate. Here we are today. I'm busting out an old impression. Probably my earliest impression ever, I believe.
Did you do that around the house?
Yes.
Was that sort of, interesting.
Yes, my sister's 3 years younger than me, so she was watching Barney. It was right for her age, but I was fascinated by it. She had a Barney doll, and I used to do the Barney voice with the doll constantly. That was that was so much fun for me to do. So it's back. My Barney voice is back. I'm a little hoarse.
I think we might be in a similar area. I also have a younger sister, and I felt, yeah, she watched it a lot, and I felt like I had to not like it, and I was aware that there was a lot of Barney hate, but maybe I did some, hate watching. I definitely would, sit and watch Barney, even if I, snarked it and made fun of it. Maybe for a lot of kids, It occupies that slot of the first thing you were too old for.
Yes.
Or sort of felt that way or felt pressure to feel that way to grow up.
I think that's right. Yeah. Jason,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I had a little brother and he loved it. And I wanted to hit Barney with a car. I agree. And it was
the cynical kid who hated Barney.
I hated it. I hated it. I knew I was supposed to hate it.
Why do you want to hit me with a car, Jason?
I just did it and it didn't have the refined sensibility of Eureka's Castle or a David the Gnome, that stuff that I liked when I was in preschool.
Or Sesame Street with its genre parodies and genuinely funny sketch style writing. Barney certainly is a little more soft in a lot of ways.
It is an uninteresting show.
Yeah.
Not sophisticated at all.
Yeah.
Not subversive at all.
But there's a dividing line. I think it's the line between old millennial and young millennial is old millennials hate Barney, younger millennials loved Barney. And it's such a fine, you can really just cut the generation in half, I think, at that moment.
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of affection for him now because of just goofing around with the doll. And, you did everything kids would do where it would, I would go in my sister's Fisher Price fridge and I'd be Barney's drinking alcohol. I'd have a little plastic cup and he'd be drinking it fast and who knows what that means to a kid, but I would be now Barney's drunk.
Barney has a gun.
Barney would fight with I would have him fight with characters too, and I'm trying to think of who would be to the same scale, because this was a Barney doll that was sort of similar to the Barney that's in the show that comes to life. In case you don't know where we're going with this, there is a Universal Studios Barney show and play area That we are actually going to talk about, if you're wondering.
In Florida since 1995.
Even recently.
And maybe its days are numbered or they're limiting it for now. But
the show, yeah, the show has been going during COVID.
Yes. This show has been going for 25 years. This show has outlasted Jaws. It's outlasted Confrontation. It's outlasted Back to the Future, the ride. And that's so fucked up.
Tower of Terror at DCA.
Tower of Terror at DCA.
It feels like this show does not feel like a linchpin. And yet it is a real like titan when you say the timeline like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
It kept its head down, stayed out of the way, just chugged along, has outlasted the Barney TV show, which stopped making new content on the regular in 2009, although the reruns still air currently on something, a channel called Universal Kids. Did anyone know about the television channel Universal Kids?
No.
So that's where
it's one of those like deep cable, like if you still have cable and there's the weird 2000 channels.
Yes, I believe it used to be Sprout. I kind of remember Sprout.
I do know Sprout. I'm familiar with Sprout. So wait a minute. Sprout became Universal Kids.
Or okay. It was a segment on something. Like, I don't know. PBS might have also used that branding, but yeah, Barney is still going strong. And to give him the benefit of the doubt, I was trying to figure out, is it because it's popular with international guests? Because there was a Barney World Tour that World used lightly, I think it was around 2015, that mostly hit the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia. So there may be
still... no theme park presence besides this, correct?
I'm not sure about that. If there's other Barneys.
I think this is the only one. They touted it as the only place on Earth where you can see Barney every day.
Oh. Wow. That's
crazy. I will say, I didn't even know this was there. I didn't know this was here. If I've been to Universal a few times, I didn't know you could get your picture taken with Barney. I don't have that photo, and I'm a little upset.
You genuinely didn't know until we talked about doing this?
I don't think so. Like, maybe I saw it on the map, but I didn't realize what it was.
I don't think I ever wandered back into the plaza, like with the fountain and the statue, which I like the statue. It looks like Barney is using his dump truck seat to hover in the air. Like,
wait a minute. Did you just call Barney's his seat his dump truck seat?
Yeah, he's got a big seat. He's got a big dump truck seat.
Dump truck seat.
Like people online talk about all the moms in Pixar movies have dump truck asses. So we say seat on this show.
Who says that?
Dump truck.
People, this is a thing. This is
what
a
websites
running joke.
Are you on?
This is a joke on Twitter. Because like all the mom, like Mrs. Incredible.
I've seen Mrs. Incredible be referred to as thick.
She's thick.
But I have never seen dump truck ass.
She's got
in
that
reference.
Dump truck. Yeah, but we say seat here. So Barney got a dump truck seat. He's using it to hover off the ground.
What other mom has a dump truck seat?
We're getting into dangerous territory.
We're getting into dangerous territory.
We've kept this seat talk to animals. Jason is trying to open it up for his perverted
Barney's
ways.
An animal. I mean,
that's true. I'm just saying you brought in the mothers of the Pixar.
Well,
movies.
I just didn't want it to make it seem like I just came up with the phrase dump truck, you know, dump truck ass out there. That is that I learned about it.
Wow.
Got a big dump truck seat. I guess that's true.
The Barney statue,
I like that fountain.
One of the few statues like we don't have to pull down with like with shades. This statue can stand.
A southern monument that can stay. The Barney statue at Universal Studios, Florida. Sorry,
that is south of the board. Yeah, that's south of the Mason-Dixon.
Although, you know, I've seen older millennial kids try to go in there and tear it down because they hate him so much.
Sure.
Especially, I'm surprised, Jason, you didn't try to drive your car through there and knock the statue down with your car because you hated Barney.
I hated Barney, but I have to say reading about this did endear him to me, especially because there's like weird sections of the Barney Wikipedia where it's like, Some thought, you know, some people think Barney led to a sense of entitlement among millennials and didn't teach enough about how to deal with difficult situations and unpleasant realities. And I was like, oh, that's, shut up. That sucks. That's stupid. Also, if anyone is complaining about millennial entitlement in 2020, get your fucking head examined. Like, you freaks.
That's still a talking point.
Just inherit. We were left an awful world that just gets shittier and shittier. Why do we want anything? Why do we want things, you know?
Let us enjoy a bright purple dinosaur, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I think that Barney himself is a good design and is a character. Like, ultimately, the show is nothing. The show is just Barney praising, like, kids for, like, doing art projects, which is this is a bit I've done with Lindsay Rod. I'll just be like, that's a great macaroni painting, Michael. Like, that's like mostly what the show is. And then, like, a kid has like a very minor problem, and then they sing like, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. And I don't even, there's not a ton going on, but the design of Barney is good.
Yeah.
And that's all you need, I think.
I mean, it's...
Well, I'm a bigger fan, I have to say, of original Barney. Because if you go back, like, the first couple videos where he's darker purple and boxier. Like, this one, this side view where he's just got, like, a full rectangle mouth. This is my Barney. I don't think they should have softened these. I like sharp face Barney.
I am a big fan of sharp face Barney as well. I like there was him with a little beanie with a propeller on it in there that you showed.
That's good, yeah.
Scott, now that you bring it up, I would like to play a clip from the original Barney, which was called Barney and the Backyard Gang.
These were the videos before the TV show. Yeah.
Right. So this was the pointy Barney.
Before they partnered with PBS. Yeah. It's just individual.
Right.
Tapes.
And I did not watch this like first run. This is just something I came upon today as I was researching. You can see that. Barney is, I'll say this, a little unnerving. So here we go. Right. He's not quite as bubbly.
Party. Starting in a kiddie pool.
Yeah. So this is when Barney appears. The kids are all in a pool, which, yes, that's a little weird as well.
One more. Well, I'm only one.
And I'm only one.
And I'm only one.
And I'm four.
My kid sister, she follows me everywhere.
Well, that's just because she is.
It's like also a sitcom, which is bizarre.
You're welcome to stay. And so are the rest of you. You know what I always say.
Yes, Mama, we know.
Together. All right. I have queued this in the wrong place.
Well, but you reminded me of this is another reason I do like darker purple sharp face Barney. I don't like that the tapes originally included this mom character played by Sandy Duncan. And I've spoken against Sandy Duncan in the past because she's one of those perennial Peter Pans, which maybe factored into my negative Pan feelings. She like epitomizes the kind of like frighteningly friendly entertainment that I believe my mom was reared entirely on and that was sort of shoved down my throat as a kid. I'm really glad Sandy Duncan went away. This I feel like is very equivalent to, she's the Haley Mills of, she is, Sandy Duncan is to Barney what Haley Mills is to Saved by the Bell. / Good Morning Miss Bliss.
Right.
When she was dismissed. We don't want this lady. We just want to see what the kids are doing.
I think, yeah, Sandy Duncan went away and the show soared. This, I believe, is the correct area, the place I want to play. But just to give you a little hint of like, there was this weird mom character and it felt more like a sitcom more than just like Barney hanging out.
These bad khaki mom shorts that are kind of what my tour guide uniform was at Universal Studios. Not a fan of the shorts.
All right, here we go.
Promise that we'll go next weekend, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
So Sandy Duncan left.
Boy, that's
good news.
We can make believe we're at the beach. What do you mean?
Well, we can close our eyes and make believe real hard.
Don't close your eyes in a pool. Never.
Yeah.
That's not how it's done.
Who said that?
I did. No, over here.
Over here.
Who are you?
Well, what the fix? Blasted by wind and purple light.
A powder gun smoke.
Wait. He's back!
Hugging what? Swimsuits.
I mean,
why is he just laughing?
He's a dinosaur!
Not saying anything.
He's not saying anything. It's terrifying.
And he's very friendly.
And he loves
this
kids.
Hug has been going he this entire time for the
Adam,
listener.
Jason and Lucy.
Since you heard the chime, endless hug.
Barney is a dinosaur.
So like he doesn't say anything. He just like laughs like a main like a little like creep, like a little pervert. He's like I don't get a good vibe from this Barney is what I'm saying.
No, this Barney's definitely scarier.
Yeah.
He's less good for kids, I realize, but I just like him more. And look, later on, he's wearing a sailor suit, yeah, like a young Mike Carlson.
He wishes.
And young
he
Scott
wishes.
Gardner, as I determined.
Yeah, they go into like a fantasy where he's like a sailor in the air. The effects on this special, too, or this tape, are pretty great.
They're flying a tub around.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, that's as old the bar. This is Backyard Gang, and his voice is also a little bit lazier. It's like Homer first season or something.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, hi. Yeah. I'm Barney.
Get some frosty chocolate shakes.
Barney was kind of Walter Matthau-y at the start.
Right. So that was not my Barney.
If you look at the VHS cover, they're really pushing, like, actually, I'll just share the screen. Like, look how they present it. So much is Sandy Duncan the point that, like, she's way bigger than Barney. Barney's, like, almost cropped out of this photo. This is a VHS. I couldn't even tell you the name because there's so many names. Barney and it's in the Three Wishes. Is it called Three Wishes or Barney and the Backyard Gang, which is way smaller, or Starring Sandy Duncan, which is the biggest text, or Sing Along With Us? Like, this is all over the map. This is some very poor, like, this could be shown in a graphic design class. Like,
yep.
Make sure your title is clear.
I mean, I guess they thought Sandy Duncan.
They were, like, trying to under...
Yeah, we underplay Barney. Yeah, because Sandy Duncan, I guess they thought was the draw at that point. For people who loved wholesome entertainment.
Sandy Duncan should never be the draw.
For people who loved wholesome entertainment,
she can
though.
Can never be the draw.
She was the rubber stamp of approval.
Not to me.
Well,
frightening. Happy. If anything's making millennials feel entitled or whatever, or present a too much of a fantasy world, it's smiling Sandy Duncan showing you there's no problems. You just to be chipper and dance your life away.
We should find out what the darkest thing Sandy Duncan was in, like what piece of entertainment. Because it seems like, yeah, she was only in happy, smiling, family friendly fare. I assume you're looking it up now.
I think so.
Was she in
was she ever.
In like Leprechaun 3 or something. She was Leprechaun's mom or something. And then Leprechaun 3. I don't know.
I'm not sure. It seems like pretty just Disney. Seems like Million Dollar Duck and such.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God Sandy Duncan was not brought into the Universal attraction. I have a point about the Universal stuff, which is that, I mean, some of... Mike, you not knowing that this was there, it is this very tucked away corner of the park that might be easy to miss, that might, like, a lot of guests, especially if you're just in pursuit of Diagon Alley or stuff that's more recent, you might just, like, overlook this whole area in general. It is a little tucked away. And in fact, this I might declare this the weirdest name of a land, quote unquote, anywhere in major theme parks in Disney or Universal, is mostly they follow. Mostly like, all right, I see what this land did. I see why it's called this. But this whole area being called that, Barney, of course, lives in Woody Woodpecker's Kids Zone.
Right, yes.
Yes.
And the attractions in Woody Woodpecker's Kids Zone are Wait, I'm actually, boy, this one surprised me. Animal actors on location. Mm-hmm. So the animal actor show is part of Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone, even though I was fairly certain that was part of World Expo, the other weird named area of that park.
Yeah, no, the western boundaries of Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone is the animal actors. Yes, that's correct. A little dog from that show got out the other day, was wandering around. They were chasing him down by the movie makeup. Pretty fun. Pretty fun little clip.
They got the dog, though?
They got the dog. Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, that's good.
Back in your cage.
Yeah.
The elsewhere in Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone. Okay, Day in the Park with Barney. Curious George Goes to Town, which is another playground thing. Woody Woodpecker's Nut House Coaster. Fievel's Playland. And E.T. Adventure. All of these... This really underlines the schizophrenic nature of the Universal Kids properties, where, like, what child, who are your favorite characters? Well, I'd have to say Barney, Curious George, Woody Woodpecker, Fievel, and E.T.
Oh, and there's a SpongeBob gift shop.
What? There's that too?
SpongeBob gift shop, and currently there is, I'll show you guys, currently there's this. What are, I believe they're calling character moments, because they are not doing some shows and meet and greets right now. So Barney and BJ and Baby Bop just stand on a little stage and sing a song and wave to the crowd.
Okay.
That's all right. There's a Fievel banner behind them. Of course.
Yeah, that's a cowboy hat.
Still.
Fievel brand. Yeah, Fievel's. Yeah, I didn't even know this much land existed back there either. This is like, because this is what they were talking about, maybe putting Nintendo in for a while before it was going to go in Epic Universe. And then who knows, maybe it goes back here if they don't build that third park.
It's a huge plot of land. And I remember going to Universal for the first time and being so excited, despite the fact that I was so easily scared. My family loved Alfred Hitchcock. So to stand in front of the Bates house, the Psycho house, which was the set from Psycho 4 that they put in the park, and you could get your picture at the bottom of the stairs. And then next door was the original Universal Hard Rock Cafe. That it was a big deal that you could enter from outside the park or inside the park.
Right. That's an area I have intense nostalgia for.
Yes.
Like, for whatever reason, being around that old Hard Rock, I don't know what it is. And the weird, I remember looking up at the Scary Psycho house, and it's so weird. They just kind of arbitrarily also built one here that is not, or in Florida, that is not the original one. So strange. Yeah, this was all like a weird, like, vacant trail. Until they put really disparate kids' playgrounds throughout it.
It does feel like Poltergeist, where they tore down a famous horror house and built like a very supposed like friendly, family-friendly like house with Barney in it. So like it does feel like this space might be haunted.
Mm-hmm. I remember that observation being made that like they tore down the Psycho house and put Barney up. And that if you didn't like Barney, that was kind of a way to, like, damn it. But I also don't think that's entirely accurate. I don't think the show literally sits where the Psycho house was.
Right.
No.
But it is interesting. Like, what I did not go to Universal when this Bates Motel was set up. Mm-hmm. Like, I was not there then. So it's like, was Animal Actors open day one in Hollywood? I keep saying Hollywood, Florida. And when
I believe so.
Yeah.
That was there. Yeah.
So it was like Bates Motel, Animal Actors?
Well, no, you wouldn't have had a view of one from the other. Mm. Like, you had to round a corner.
Yeah.
And then E.T. is weirdly there that doesn't really fit into this. Like, calling it a kid ride isn't exactly right. I mean, there's kids who couldn't go on that ride or would find that ride scary.
Yeah. But I love the Fievel slide. I love the Fievel slide. I love the Animal Actor show. I still do if I'm ever at either of the Universal Parks. It's like, oh, what do we do? We have some time to go. It's like, we can go to Animal Actors. I will always opt for Animal Actor show.
We got to do that one. You talk about things that haven't changed, and it's like that's you feel. I mean, they aren't doing it right now, obviously, but hopefully they are back at some point, and you'll go like, "Oh my God, still Mick Jagger, Monkey Lips, still like embarrassed monkey who had their towel stolen.
Oh, yeah.
And is covering up their groin because they got pulled out of the shower. Like, there's something real nice about, wow, some things never change.
I mean, I kind of like the fact that Kid Zone is barely, it's just so odd. It's such an expensive piece of real estate to still be stuck in like 1995. It's so funny. And I am surprised. I have found myself bored wandering around Universal Orlando before, and I'm amazed I have not gone back here. Like, I have never even been in, like, the Barney. I have no memory of the Barney Plaza. Like, I guess when it opened, maybe my brother, I think he would have been too old for, even he would have been too old for Barney by the time this show opened.
When was the last time you went on the Fievel slide, Jason?
I don't know. Is that one of the ones where you like have to be under a certain height? I feel like my parents did it with me.
I don't know that they actually say specifically how big you have to be on some of this, because like there's a Barney Playland here, or it's called, what is it called? Barney's Backyard. But like, for instance, the Grizzly Challenge Trail at Disney's California Adventure, that's, you know, anybody can walk
and
climb that. But there are little tunnels on the ground floor that are mostly for children. But you and I...
I could fit those.
Yeah. You and I went in this tunnel about 5 years ago, I think.
Oh, yeah. You and I can squeeze it.
And I believe right before we did... like a young teen ran up to the tunnel, looked at it as if he was in a cartoon and went, YOLO, and jumped in the tunnel.
I do remember this. Yeah.
And then you went in and I was like, well, I got to try it, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, wow. it's I don't know. You probably could go on the 5-hole slide now. Look, people would maybe look down on you a little bit because that's for children.
It's possible.
It's not as big as the Challenge Trail. The Challenge Trail still, I think you can get away with it because like it's got big enough stuff for adults to enjoy.
Well, my white whale is the Pterodon Flyers, I think it's called, or the Pterodactyl Flyers. The one over at the Jurassic Park at Islands of Adventure, you have to be under a certain height. And when I was like 12 or 13, whenever it opened, it was brand new, so there was like a 2-hour wait for this rinky-dink thing, but it goes above the whole land, and you know I like to be high up, but I never got around to riding it because it doesn't eat up a lot of people per hour, so it always has a long wait, and now I'm too tall.
While we're on the topic real quick, and I know we've touched on this a little bit, I mean, we all three of us, I assume, as kids were into what you'd call a McDonald's play place. Chuck E. Cheese, ball, like, right, we're all in that zone. I think most kids are. It's not that unusual. There was a place called Leaps and Bounds.
I remember Leaps and Bounds, yeah.
By my house that was not like
that sounds cool.
3-story tubes ball pit thing that I just was my favorite place. It was maybe open for a year. Maybe lasted a year. And I think we went there when I was a little too old, too. We had like somebody's birthday party in like 5th grade.
Yeah.
And like we're a little too big to be going through those tubes. But I would love an adult tube business, a business where adults could crawl through tubes. And I know we have like what I've brought this up before, Tough Mudders, and you get shocked and you're muddy and like they're like, this is temporary. I don't want that. I want fun, colorful tubes in a big building, but big enough for adults to go in. And look, is the way I feel about it is YOLO. You know, you only live once, and let's have some adult tube fun.
But even, I mean, not like now, though.
Like, not
you're in
now.
A couple years.
In a
let's,
few
let's
years.
Let's celebrate the end of the disease, but whereby let's all like... All right, it's over. Let's all just go touch everything we can all the time.
Let's all go crawl on our hands and knees through a dirty tube together. Get like a log jam of humans in the tube, all breathing we'll be taking deep breaths of each other's exhale and going, oh, isn't this nice?
Do you remember when
we couldn't do this? This is fantastic.
Big cuddle puddle in the tube, everyone.
We'll have a cuddle puddle in the tube and enjoy all the germs from each other's mouths.
It's going to be great. This is
like you're describing a non-sexual orgy.
This has to do with sex. Yes.
Nothing.
This is all about fun and wholesome. This is what Sandy Duncan would approve of.
Just tube fun. Like just
this is just tube fun for adults.
For adults, it's fine. And it sounds better than those, like, drink a beer, throw an axe. Like, ooh.
Of course it does. Look, I'm not against throwing an axe. I'll throw an axe if somebody invites me to do it.
Sure.
But what would you rather do? Crawl through a bunch of tubes and go in an adult ball pit?
Oh.
Or throw an axe?
It sounds way better than, like, oh, come to the Instagram museum. Oh, it's the Museum of Ice Cream. Like, fuck you. That's not a museum. You build a shitty set. Fuck off.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
Yeah, that's a weird area. Like, sometimes I'll think about doing them for the show. Like, oh, there's a Britney Spears Instagram. And then, like, wait, why is it $150? And, like, none of this is the sets from the video. This was like this is a closed Kmart a month ago. Mm-hmm. There's nothing historic here. I don't need to do this.
I get that this business I'm proposing, there's going to have to be a lot of waivers signed. There's going to be a lot of people hurting their knees. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of, like, debilitating cramps happening.
Yeah, but that's the issue. Just your body maybe can't handle it as well.
I think, though, and I'm a little feeling a little run down, as I think a lot of us are at this moment, but I feel like I can still go if it comes to high octane tube fun.
Well, it's hard to know until I have not had my tube fun tested recently.
I just think I know this, you know, people, you know, they go like, I was on the high school basketball team. I could still play, you know, if push comes to shove, I think I can still go. I'm talking about give me an hour, hour and a half in a play place. I think I can still do it. I don't think I'm going to be passing out or anything. I think I can still hold up is what I'm getting.
You can still go on lots of slides.
I can go on lots of slides. I can do like a flip into a ball pit. I can scale a little wall. I'm trying to think of how to describe how they would have it. It would, you know, those like little, like, it's like a fake rock climbing wall for kids. It's on a little incline.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I can still do it.
I can do a tiny one. I'm not going to a climbing gym. That's another thing where I was like, I don't see the appeal. This is not for me.
Yeah. I mean, trampoline parks, I think, are getting close, which I actually have not been to one. I've still been wanting to have like a birthday at one of these, which I assume will end in like half of my friends getting a broken ankle or like landing on their neck. And like, we have to go to the hospital like 25 minutes in. Everyone's like, what are we doing here? And I'm like, it's fun. We're all at our mid to late 30s.
Well, I hope Gio enjoyed walking while he could. He had a good run.
Yeah.
He had decades worth of walking.
He'll be fine. He'll be fine, whatever shape he's in after that. So anyway, I love the play place.
Clearly.
I'm itching to play. I think the most iconic piece of play place, I don't know, iconography is the Officer Big Mac play place.
Oh, yes.
You climb up and go in his mouth.
Mm.
I think
that's the thing I'd most like to have, certainly, if I could own one of those and put it in a backyard.
Right. Which I guess now that I'm thinking about it is some sort of jail.
Yeah, that's a jail. That's like getting kids accustomed to what it would be like to be held in a detention center.
Mm-hmm. That I was both excited to be in that and scared also, because my memory of that play place thing was like it was on an incline. You would climb up and then you'd like try to kind of fight to not slide back down to where the ladder was. And there'd be a bunch of kids in there, and it was just like, you know, it was Thunderdome in there.
Yeah. I feel like it's one of my only childhood memories, like all of age three. I remember one time being in that burger cage, and that's that's it. It really takes the pressure off me as a parent. Like, if he gets upset, I'm like, you won't remember this. You'll remember like one thing per year, maybe, and not this year. No way.
Yeah. My memory
pressure's off.
My memory of it, too, is that it was about 10 feet tall. Of course, I will show you the reality of what it is. It is you know, maybe 4 feet off the ground, 3 feet off the ground.
Is that it?
Is it your memory of it? Like it was like a towering, like two-story.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Here it is.
Wow, that's shocking, actually. Yeah. I didn't. Yeah, like a very small girl is exactly the height of the pole in this picture you're showing.
But it felt like you were climbing Mount Everest.
Yeah. Was there like an observation deck? Because there's holes in his hat, in his constable hat.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So could you climb up and see in there? Or is that just like so kids don't suffocate?
It's a good question.
It is.
I don't.
It is open air. The tube. Yeah, I guess you needed some holes in there just to be safe. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wonder, just out of curiosity, I'll look this up while we're talking, how much this would cost, because it looks like people have bought them and put them in their backyard.
Well, I've looked into expensive McDonald's items before, and the thing that I found is that a lot of them, while relatively affordable, cost like $800 to ship if you aren't in the area where it's being sold. And at one point in time, these were being sold very heavily in the Chicago area. Mm. So perhaps you could use your family connection, and if somebody has a car that can move one of these things, you could get that discount and truck it back to Los Angeles and put it in your apartment.
You know, this is the stuff our parents didn't think of. This is what we were denied, the thought of, like, you know what we could do? We could buy some old fast food restaurant play equipment and give it to our children.
They weren't creative at all.
No.
Yeah. They didn't think to do something that I did recently, which is watch a trade show video from the 70s shot on 8mm film encouraging McDonald's franchises to buy these things and showing you product by product. Like, the apple pie tree will delight children of all ages. This is really, like, dingy, red-tinted film. I mean, I love... This is, like... the definition of the kind of thing I want to watch. But I would like show my, if I told my parents, hey, remember how we would play at the McDonald's Playland? Well, recently I found a trade show film. They'd go like, what did we do? Why didn't we, how'd you end up locked in your childhood and only getting more and more boring by the year?
You spent your 30s in the 1970s having key parties and putting meat into Jell-O molds. We spent it watching old trade show videos on YouTube. We are not the same.
We spent it on eBay trying to find the vintage McDonald's playground ride fillet of fish play spring toy that sold for $500.
Was that like one that you'd sit? Is that like a sort of a bucking bronco pony kind of little? Yeah. Okay.
$500, $100 shipping.
Hmm. Where is it shipping from?
Oh, I got to look it up. It's already sold.
That Chicago.
It's already sold. Oh, this was from Wisconsin.
Midwest, okay. Yeah.
I bet that Officer Big Mac thing sells fast. I don't see any of them on here.
I bet that one's that's tough.
Folks, Michael here. Eating well is hard sometimes, but that's where Factor Meals comes in. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. They've got 35 different options to choose from each week. So what are you waiting for? Get started today. Get after your goals. I've been getting after my goals. I had some creamy Parmesan chicken. It was delicious. I made it and I felt smart for doing it. A great thing about Factor is that it's flexible for your schedule. You get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Head to factormeals.com/podcastride50 and use code podcastride50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code podcastride50 at factormeals.com/podcastride50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Do it.
Maybe we should do a, this could be a, we could take a little time, but if we eBay Barney and see what the most expensive item is.
Oh, that's good.
We never plan these anymore, but we could do a little,
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Souvenir Smackdown as we go. I like when they just come up mid episode.
Sure.
Let's get it back to Barney.
Yeah.
So not,
I have
forever.
To give Universal credit. It does seem like in 1995 money, like they spent a good amount of money on this area and this show. Like Barney was huge in the mid 90s. Like, and I watched the video. I watched the video of one of the last ones before it was put on ice for COVID scalebacks. Like this show was running where Peekaboo comes out and goes like, remember to social distance and keep your masks on. And
yeah,
that was a lot. That was a lot to handle. But watching the pre-show, I was like, wow, this is a pretty nice theater. They built like a goofy house. I was like, oh, this is a whole different room. And then there was like a cloud sequence, like the rain clouds were raining and then the rain stopped and there were doors behind it. I was like, oh, this is actually pretty good. And then the whole show's a theater in the round, which I think that's interesting. You don't see that often in like theme park it's like shows.
It's like Dane Cook at Madison Square Garden.
That's right.
That's like exactly the same vibe when Barney comes out with Baby Bob and BJ.
And if you look from at the Barney stage from above, it's got the big Sufi logo on it. The super figure, the Sufi.
Barney and Dane Cook, both a lot less in the public eye since 2009.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
We should talk about what the show is. Yeah, there's a theater in the round that you build to, but you get there and it's a little like outdoor. Here's where we gather everybody up, and a little house and a waterfall looking thing, like Jason said, and you. You're waiting, and then you start seeing little doors open, and that is the appearance of Peekaboo. The character's name is Peekaboo. Do either of you? I didn't write it down. What's his or her full name? They make it so that man or woman could do it.
Yes,
Patricia Aloysius Bartholomew or Patrick Aloysius Bartholomew.
I see. Condensed to Peekaboo. Which is his name because it is his favorite game.
Right.
Yes.
And he is what? A professor who knows Barney?
Yeah, that's sort of the vibe of it. It's very similar to the M&M professor. It's not that similar to the M&M professor, but it's the same. It's a narrative function, at least.
Yeah, he's Barney's friend. He's your hookup. Like, no, I totally know him. Just stick with me. I'll take you. You've also got is it an animatronic or is it a puppet? And how do they time it to speak at the right time? Because there's a big parrot named Bartholomew.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't tell. What is it? Is it live operated? But there's nobody behind it. I'm not sure what you're looking at.
I think
there.
It's a puppet. Yeah, I think it's, they might be able to cue just the lines, like on a, like, we always just called them carts, like at the student radio station cause they sold some old like equipment where like it was a big box you would like plug a cartridge in and it would play as soon as you hit the button. There was no lag like on a cassette, so okay. I think stunt shows have some of those set up where like as soon as you hit the button the sound plays.
I feel like any character that's not the human, it's all recorded. They're not doing any, like, the puppets and the costume people are not doing any crowd work. They can't.
Like, that's correct, yeah. And eventually, yeah, Barney, Baby Bop, and BJ are pre-recorded.
Yes.
And doing clearly, I was like, let me look up earlier choreography. Can I see a video of this from 1996? And then, like, recently, mid-pandemic, and it is the same. They all, like, go to the center and the I Love You song and play, like, and it's the same little carts with inflatable animals. This is, like, the exact same show.
Yeah, they've been doing the greatest hits on tour forever here. No new albums.
And I have to say, the, like, 2020 audience, while a little small, the kids were into it. They were digging the show. They were clapping along, playing along. Like, I do think this is good for kids. Kids like repetition. Kids like simple songs. Like, you know, I get the appeal. And when you design a theme park, I think it's left out of the discussion a lot of, like, well, you need to appeal to ages 2 to 8. If you're going to be a family theme park, you have to distract very, very little kids. You have to entertain them a little.
Sure. I mean, my only plus up for this would be like a turtle talk situation with Barney where he could actually respond to the kids. That would be all I would want from it. They can do the same songs.
Yeah.
They can do Kookaburra Sits in the Old Oak Tree. They can do that classic. But I want Barney to do a little crowd work like Dane would, maybe. But just a little, you know, be able to react live to some change in the audience. He doesn't have to go Rickles. He doesn't have to,
let's put our purses in the circle. Let's put our purses and dance around. I just want to dance.
Oh, are you a German guy? Oh, a Nazi? not Rickles, Barney, but like a little loose crowd work.
This guy looks like he's got an itchy asshole.
Yeah.
If we're going Dane.
If you're going Louis, Dane.
Yeah.
It's hard to
Let's
say.
Let's go hit up the BK Lounge.
I mean, it's cute. It's well done. It's like, the lighting cues are nice. It seems like a good high-tech theater. That water effect is good. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to, like... You know, you can hate on Barney, but I don't hate on this show. This seems like just well done and entertaining, if sort of oddly, perhaps irrelevant. I mean, maybe a 3-year-old doesn't care. They'll like look at whatever. But when you're dealing with like the micro generations that like, you know, when you're dealing with preschool age, I feel like if this show hasn't been on since 2009, that's like 3 generations at least who don't really know Barney.
Yeah, I would, I guess that they're showing reruns, and I guess it probably is all up to the parents. If the parents have some affection for it, then they'll show their child Barney, the reruns or whatever. I don't know if you can stream Barney. I don't know if there's a Kimberly Clark diaper streaming service that exists. It might exist.
I think if you are, a theme park is probably the best place because, like, you could introduce like a 2 or 3-year-old to Barney, the pre-show, the show, and then there's a gift shop where you can get the dolls at the end. And like that's an entirely self-contained bubble. So you could get a kid to know nothing about Barney, and within the span of an hour, they could be like, all right, I'm all in on Barney. This is my new favorite thing.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Little stations that teach them.
Yeah.
It's just my only criticism as an adult. My only criticism of the show is it's not, it's fine that it's for kids. I don't need body humor, of course. But like versus the Peanuts show at Knott's, the Peanuts shows at Knott's, which are certainly not sophisticated oftentimes, but they do a little, you get a little something. You get your Thriller parody, which Spooky Nights, you know. You go, you get a little, there's a little something for the parents to enjoy. There's a little, like, interest. Like, this feels like, you know, put a costume on Barney once in a while. Let's change up a song. Let's do a parody song. Like, you know, like Chuck E. Cheese does. Like, let's do a little. Let's play with the Barney IP a little bit. He can get loose. Barney can get loose.
But that
doesn't have to be so uptight.
That's by design, though, isn't it? Like, Barney made just for the kids. Like, Sesame Street and other things like that. Kids, for the kids and for the parents, get a little too
well. Sure, I think it's more of the whoever's controlling Barney has a very specific idea of what Barney is, and then also it costs money to do any changes, and they would prefer to just keep this thing the same for 25 years because who gives a shit? It's for little kids.
I came across this that this show was written by Jason Sorrell, who wrote the Haunted Mansion and Pirates of the Caribbean books, longtime Universal and Disney creative person.
Wow.
And his first run at Universal.
Every year.
I found this on like a wiki, and then I looked on, I found his LinkedIn page, and he does list it under his credits from his first few years at Universal.
Wow.
Oh, that's cool. Good for him. I like that, you know what you got to give him credit for, and kids must love this. This is like a good like magic trick illusion, and maybe the first that they get to see is the transformation of little doll Barney into big Barney.
Yes.
That's got to be huge when you're a kid. They do live the thing that they did in very poor special effects on a VHS in 1989.
Yeah, it's I am a big fan of the doll Barney from the second version of the series that's like very round.
Yeah.
I won't call him like a dump truck doll. I won't say something like that, that Jason would say. But you know what I'm talking about, how he looks.
Yeah, very rounded. Very pleasingly round.
he's pleasingly round. I mean, that's right. I'm not going to deny that's right, but it's
so much sexualization of Barney.
No, you love a perfect sphere. You guys like those ice cube spheres, you know?
We do like that, yes.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Cute toy. Definitely a cute toy.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the dolls were not like that. The dolls were actually not as pleasing.
No.
But the perfect camera ready one. Yeah.
Yeah.
More so. I think my feelings about Barney as a kid were mixed, but I can certainly say I did not like Baby Bop. Baby Bop really annoyed me.
Yeah. Baby Bop is, yeah. There's not a lot. The Baby Bop, unfortunately, has kind of a grating voice.
Yeah.
It's like really crazy. I can't do it, but.
Yeah. Me like. And then BJ, I'm not as upset about, but I feel that BJ is a real poochie. Like,
oh, yeah.
It is like cool in a generic way, but otherwise does not really bring a new dynamic to the table. Does not influence the dyad, if you will. If you're going to introduce a third character, they should really bring more to the table than just being like also a dinosaur but who like is on a scooter sometimes.
Yeah, he's got the cool gym shoes and like sideways baseball hat. Mm-hmm. And then he's Baby Bop's older brother.
Okay.
Was this their attempt to reach out to you or me, Mike?
I think, because
did they sense that there are a lot of older brothers who we need to pull into the fold?
I think you might be onto something, because I do think when they introduced BJ, it certainly piqued my interest. I was certainly like, well, who is this new cool dinosaur? Now, they didn't stick the landing because I wasn't like all in on BJ, but I certainly was like, oh, I wouldn't mind getting one of these BJ dolls. Mm-hmm. I didn't have one, but I'm just saying, I think that was probably part of it. Barney was a very paternal figure. He was in charge. So Baby Bop was a character the kids could relate to, but then they figured, okay, well, they have to have a girl character and a boy character. And they definitely, like, BJ is like Bart, their version of Bart Simpson.
Yeah, BJ's shooting cans with a BB gun in the backyard, setting off sparklers and fireworks.
Did they think they would trick us by having he's yellow and has spiky hair?
They kind of tricked me, though. They tricked me for a little bit, so it kind of worked. I just think they needed to make him a little bit more engaged, like his personality better.
I was too into Cable at that point, Cable from the X-Men, so if they had given BJ a giant gun and a lot of pouches, maybe, but the yellow wasn't enough for me.
If somebody could, and look, if we call for fan art, if someone could in the audience draw a Rob Liefeld BJ,
I would lose my mind. I just, oh God.
Scott, I got to tell you. So Rob Liefeld, Scott, in the 90s would draw these like crazy, you've probably seen the pictures of it, crazy muscle men characters that like doesn't make sense proportionally. And I'll show you this real quick.
He is the co-creator of Deadpool, amongst other extreme like sassy characters. So
this Captain America. This is Captain America image comes up a lot when
this discussion. Oh, I recognize this. Incredibly detailed.
Incredibly detailed, anatomically all over the map, but like now has kind of come back around to being like outsider art. Like it's just so garish.
Somebody also made this. Yeah, like this is what he would look like shirtless.
And somebody's done what real life Chris Evans playing Captain America would look like with the proportions of
right. Like this is what he would look like.
A mammoth rib cage. These characters all have dump truck pecs.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. Yes.
So round.
So if somebody could draw like a jacked up BJ.
Rob Liefeld BJ.
That would be great.
But we also now I don't think we were maybe way off of the show by the time they introduced who I guess is BJ and Baby Bop's cousin Riff.
Yes,
you guys know about Riff.
I know about Riff.
I hate Riff.
He's orange. No. I really hate. Now, this is interesting because now he reminds me. I think Riff is kind of in the family of an Aladar.
Well,
I think he bothers me the same way Aladar bothers me.
At that, I can't get on board with that.
I can't cotton to that. No.
So, Mike, you don't like Riff.
I don't know a lot of, I'll be honest, I don't know a lot about Riff. I don't love the look.
Mm-hmm.
He's got kind of like, he's like half asleep.
Yeah, those eyelids are very unsettling.
I'm not against him, but I think of the four designs, he's the least interesting design, purely from an aesthetic point of view. The other three are, I think, pretty well designed. Riff, I don't know what's going on with him. He's got like,
no,
he's got like,
oh, come on, Riff.
He's kicking.
I mean,
yeah,
I like it when he's kicking more. maybe Riff might be the funniest character now that I'm looking at him, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm kind of warming up to Riff.
Yeah, funny
Riff
looking.
Riff is clearly the great gazoo of this show.
I mean, I'm looking at a clip on YouTube now. I've not watched it. Learn to Dance with Riff. And maybe we'll use this clip to determine if we like Riff once and for all.
Sure. I don't know Riff's voice at all, so we'd all be experiencing this together.
Let's experience Riff for the first time and really give Riff a fair shot.
All right. No judgment, Riff.
No, okay. Yeah,
Riff. Win me over. This is your American Idol audition.
Okay.
Let's see what you got.
And you'll be happy to know he's got a little ukulele, so that's also another strike in his favor. All right, so here we go.
Just can't get enough. Just can't get enough.
Wait a minute.
Just can't get enough. Yeah. Just
can't get enough. So we're watching. Okay, so right now we're watching some sort of music video. He's not, Riff is not speaking, but he's dancing a lot to Just Can't Get Enough.
Is that Riff's voice?
That sounds like Barney to me. All right, I got to find Riff talking here.
Barney on YouTube has 1.4 million subscribers. So,
guess it is working.
Yeah, it might still be popular.
Hi, I'm Riff is the name of this video.
Yeah, and there's pictures of him with, like, he's fishing now, and I kind of like that.
No, I'm out on Riff. No.
Oh,
no,
he's playing the sax, Scott.
Unmute.
Okay,
hold on.
You're right. That sax, though. Okay, right. So here we go. This is I'm Riff. Hi, I'm Riff.
Oh, Scott, you like this music.
Oh, Scott.
Sound like the kind of music I like, yes.
Hi, I'm Riff. Let's go have some fun with Barney.
No.
Okay, out. Riff
no,
has...
raspy voice, no.
Riff
don't
has
like it.
A lot of vocal fry going on.
Yeah, not into it.
Riff also smokes. Like, Riff smokes Parliament longs.
It's a poor man's Tommy Pickles from Rugrats.
All right, one more clip here to see if we can save Riff's reputation with Scott.
Hi, hey, everyone.
No. Heidi ho. Get out of here.
He's playing the sax, Scott.
Only one character is allowed to say Heidi ho, and that's Mitch.
What are you guys up to?
We just planted these yellow flowers.
Coolorama. Oh, they look great.
Coolorama.
Thanks.
There's
a
project
for
our scouting club.
Out on Riff.
Oh, what's a scouting club?
A club is a group of friends who plan fun things.
What the fuck?
Okay. All right, so this is another thing we haven't got to. They changed Barney's voice, and it's really weird. Like, it's much different. It's like,
awful.
Ew. Yeah, he sounds weird in the last so many...
So points for the Universal show. It's the original voice Bob West... of Barney, and he also was the voice of Pasquale and Jasper at Chuck E. Cheese.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Did not realize that. That's great. That really, I mean, that's three icons right there. What a great VO guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who, like, worked at the company, right? I think in all these cases, or he got his start at Chuck E. Cheese, he, like, wrote the shows or was part of the creative, and then... did voices and that he was like the king of Texas children's entertainment because Chuck E. Cheese and Barney all came from the Dallas or I mean somewhere in Texas.
Yeah. Another person with a connection to the Barney show at Universal, there was a woman named Lauren Mayhew. who's worked in the parks a lot, she went from playing Baby Bop in the show in the park to then getting word that they needed a new Baby Bop like costume performer on the TV show. So then auditioned and then got the part and took over the role like for the TV show. And then eventually also went on to do the world, like auditioned for the like one of the national or international tours they did too. So she played Baby Bop. And then I believe after the show ended, went back to Universal and has worked in the park and done the character again.
Wow. Oh, geez.
Wow. It led to a job.
Yeah.
Wow.
A different job.
A different. Yeah. It's kind of in the same neck of the woods job, but I thought that was cool. And there's interviews with her out there about she's worked a lot of jobs in the parks.
Does anyone know anything about the guy who was in the Barney suit on the show?
I've heard. Yeah, you go ahead. I think I know what you're. I know what you're talking about here.
If you're preschool age, stop listening to the episode because the guy's name is David Joyner, and he was always Barney in all the live shows and all in the movie and all the things. And today he is known as a tantric massage therapist.
Mm.
He explains how his being in the suit, that's a very physical act, and he considers that like having to be in this costume all day that got up to 120 degrees and was so, you know, physically taxing. He calls that tantra. Like tantra isn't necessarily a sex thing. It's just being able to like have the stamina to do something forever. And he says how the energy I brought while in the costume is based on the foundation of tantra, which is love. Everything stems, grows, and evolves from love. Love heals and allows you to grow. So he's this very spiritual person. As I said, tantra isn't necessarily a sex thing. In this case, it certainly is because his practice is sex. You go to tantraharmony.com and tell him your issues and he will have sex with you. And part of it is that in order for all the spirits to get through and for it to be more as blissful as possible, it has to be unprotected. So no condoms involved if you're going to have sex with the guy who played Barney. Yes.
Sandy Duncan would not approve of this.
They're kind of at opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of people involved in the franchise. Sandy Duncan would have maybe problems with phraseology. Like here's a quote from him. When you go down on a woman, it should be just like you're saying grace, like blessing the food you're about to receive.
Oh.
No food in the world. Oh, wait, I should do it as no food in the world. When you go down on a woman, it should be like you're saying grace, like you're blessing the food you're about to receive. No food in the world can compare to goddess nectar because spirit is involved. Before you taste the goddess nectar, give thanks. Mike is wincing as hard as I've ever seen.
This metaphor doesn't track for me because I always found grace to be very like perfunctory and fast, and that doesn't
oh, you're right.
Yeah, right.
1000% yes. If that's what you're doing, if you're going down on someone with the speed of grace, like I know my family is great, and then the Father, Son, Holy Spirit,
bless his food, you know,
about food. That is not satisfying to your goddess.
Yeah, I feel like that's a way to build resentment, not connection, if that's your approach to the act.
All right, in the name of the Father, clear, all right, here we go, click, 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 okay, and so, all right, very good.
I don't think this performer knows how to treat his goddess. That's my
this
hypothesis.
Goddess thing is pretty uniform across David Joyner's discussions. There's a lot of reviews of his services, which are glowing. Are pretty excited about all this.
Is he on Yelp?
I'm not sure if it's Yelp, but he controls the reviews.
I see.
Yeah.
So it's all people. I mean, it sounds like people had a wonderful time. There's a Vice article about all this, and there's people who seem kind of, well, there's people who just straight up say this is prostitution, what he is doing.
Yeah,
if 100... money is being exchanged and you have unprotected sex, then this is sort of a shady thing. I don't want it. I don't know either way. I don't want to cast judgment. Condoms block the energy is a pretty iffy phrase.
Yeah.
Condoms block the energy.
Oh, condoms block the energy.
Oh my god.
I do. Everyone does sign a consent form though. So that's good.
Oh my god.
Everything's on the up and up.
That is really dark.
It's pretty crazy. He also apparently was like pretty vocal about all this. He was not running this practice while doing the Barney show, but I think if you met this man and talked to him, he would start talking about tantric stuff. So they let him do the show, but attorneys said that he was not allowed to teach, practice, or talk about Tantra while under contract playing the character, because that is a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So he had to bid this adieu. It was not like Sting, where he could make it part of his persona while still doing his art.
Right.
Well, he didn't bid it adieu. He just kind of edged. It just kind of built up over years, and then the tantric energy.
He stored up the tantric.
Stored up the tantric. I'm sorry, too much of my tantric energy being blown off caused the 1994 Northridge earthquake.
That was just Bernie shooting.
Oh. An extinction event. Oh. Man.
I'm pretty sure that I was once around this man because, you know, I like doing things at hotel bars, as we all do. And there's a really good one. There's a good, like, bar at the top of a hotel in Glendale.
Yes.
And we had a birthday party there with the thinking that, like, oh, because it'll kind of just be us. There won't be, like, some other massive group of 200 people who we're competing for space with. And one time for Aaron's birthday, we went up to this place and it was packed. It was 200 people, and we didn't know what it was all about. It was like the most raucous, incredible birthday party we'd ever seen. And I think it may have been, if it wasn't, I think it was a woman who the party was for, but then we sort of intermingled, and somebody was like, see that guy over there? He was in the Barney suit. And he was like holding court. People loved this guy. Everybody's talking to him. He's king of the party, pointing at everyone. And
wow.
So, I guess the guy's popular.
Oh my.
I'm not sure if he was popular with these people because of his work. That's hard to say, but.
Well, we know there's another rooftop bar that's local that has a swingers night once a month.
Yes.
That's right.
So. Yeah.
It's only parties of 12 nerds and raucous.
Yeah.
Sexually liberated groups.
There'll be times
in massive numbers.
Times when we've tried to go.
We are definitely not.
Time to go to the bar, and it's like, no, no, no. This is swingers night. You have to be a swinger to go up there. Right.
That's happened several times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's what happens at the rooftop bars.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're interested in a session with David Joyner, go to tantraharmony.com. It's not an official ad, obviously.
No, he didn't pay us. This is just what Scott is doing this out of the kindness of his heart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just spreading the word. What have we missed?
Well,
Barneyville Station?
Barneyville Station.
Oh,
the play area.
I did miss this.
All right, let's yes, Mike has pulled out the Barney's Backyard page on the Universal website. Now let's get away from all that salacious material and let's start with the train, which I'm squinting and says BJ's Express. All right, okay, great.
Barney has a train station and a train of some kind here. I'm not sure if that's in actual like canon on the newer show. I don't know.
Go down to the copy a little bit. Hop on BJ's Express train and plan a pretend getaway.
Uh-oh.
It's not like, yes, what?
But then on this planned getaway, there's an actual murder. No one is leaving BJ's Express train until we crack this case.
No need. It was Riff.
Oh.
I know it was Riff. I have had a bad feeling about Riff since day one.
I like Riff now.
No, Riff's a murderer.
Even if Riff murdered someone on this train, I'm liking him.
Yeah, that might improve my opinion of Riff, I suppose.
Riff was a murderer.
Riff was a saxophone playing dinosaur train murderer.
Riff is male, yes?
I think so.
But that voice is like a French. She Riff sounds like an Orange County divorcee.
Riff is like a rock and roller. Like, Riff can play instruments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking up. Riff's personality is all about music. He hears music everywhere he goes, which ties directly into his theme song, I Hear Music Everywhere.
The music.
So I guess we got to do this cute poll for Riff.
The music tells me to do things.
I think it's important that people see Riff playing the sax, though, to give a full determination of if Riff is cute.
That's the most likable Riff that I saw. Yes, but I can't give him points just because of saxophone. Just because Riff's associated with easy listening music is typically a way into my heart.
I'm going to find Riff playing more easy listening music to convince you.
I mean, this makes me want to take Riff footage and put some of the stuff I like under it.
Mm-hmm.
Your David Sanborn or your Tom Scott.
I think if you have an hour during this week, that might happen.
Yeah,
sure. I'll give it a go. Well, what have we missed? I do have some Barney eBay results. If we want to do a little,
I have some. Yes,
we might have found the same thing. Maybe we're looking at the same. Are you doing like by highest price? Are we?
That's usually how I do it. So we're probably.
Well,
in the
I didn't
same
look
zone.
Too hard. So if you have anything good, I'll keep it blind.
No, myself. I don't have anything particularly good.
Well, we don't have to do it. If nothing's that good.
Well, I will say nothing is that good with Barney, but I do think I found the mother load when it comes to McDonald's.
Jeez. A full playland. 20 with a train.
$21,000.
$21,000. It's everything. It's the little boppers, the filet of fish.
Yep.
A little bench where you sit next to Grimace.
This is the ultimate.
Jeez.
So $21,000 is how much they're asking for it. I don't know. It doesn't say where they're located though. You know,
free local pickup.
Should I offer like 100?
They're not going to get 21,000. What do you think they're aiming for? 14, 15 grand?
Yeah, probably. I bet they would take 14,000. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have a.
Go ahead and offer.
All right. Here I go. $14,000.
He did it. He's typing it in.
I don't have a house with a yard or a house in general.
Yeah.
But I do want to buy $14,000 worth of McDonald's Playland equipment.
Of course. I know. We all do.
That bench with Ronald. It's the bench where Ronald's sitting in the middle. Can you imagine, like putting that in a house? Like, I guess I could. I guess there would be no problem with it. People would actually be the envy of the neighborhood.
Yeah,
I guess some of the neighborhood.
All right, fine. So, but people put off fun Halloween decorations, giant things. Now, I think people are slowly more comfortable with.
Yeah, Chief, you could do a front yard display of McDonald's stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
If you could get the bench with Ronald on it, flanked by two Home Depot 12-foot skeletons, like that would be just so great.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's something to shoot for. Maybe the Patreon will go up and give us each an extra $21,000 next month. And
well, we could, you could, if we'll, you can come, how about you could come be in the Playland if we buy this?
That's a good idea.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then we'll sell tickets to it like Homer.
Yes. Well, that's our theme park.
Right.
I mean, that's where this has to go, is that we actually build Good Boy Land.
Well, sure.
And with Ambassador Sandy Duncan.
No, never.
Statue of Sandy
Not allowed
Duncan.
In Good Boy Land.
But I will be performing down on Grandpa's Farm, Imagine a Place, all the songs from day in the park with Barney.
I like Down on Grandpa's Farm.
I like Down on Grandpa's Farm too.
That's
I have
a
to
fun
say,
Barney song.
I thought all the songs were solid in this. Imagine a Place. I liked. I really liked in that one song when they had their laughing simultaneously down pat, like for syncing the mouth movements all together. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty impressive. Technically, all the people in the costumes doing a good job.
I like when they push the carts around with the inflatable barnyard animals.
Oh,
the,
yeah.
The skunk. And
that's fun.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had to know another note, though, you know, where's Riff?
No.
Where is he?
Shouldn't be in this.
He would.
Everyone's going to pretend. A bunch of people on Twitter are going to pretend to like Riff, an unknown Barney character for good reason.
As soon as they see a GIF.
I said to not like it.
As soon as they see a GIF of him playing saxophone, they're going to fall in love.
It seems inevitable, right?
Yes. We love Riff now. I wasn't, you know, you can't judge a book by its cover because I was anti-Riff initially. But the saxophone put it over the edge. So.
Yeah. I guess, all right, only with a saxophone and only if Riff doesn't talk. I don't want to hear that horrible voice. So if you block that with a saxophone, then fine.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll put Riff against that Baby Aladar and see even like what if people like one or more than the other.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think people with saxophone will really like Riff. The only time I've been way wrong is Mr. Six. People love friggin' Mr. Six.
Yeah, that ratio was higher than you might expect.
Yes,
yeah.
I thought Mr. Six was more divisive, but people love a dancing old man.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Six Flags should have looked at that data and brought him back immediately.
Well, they fucked up big time, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, I'm just glad that the people responsible for firing Mr. Six only went on to do many, many more extremely lucrative jobs.
Mm-hmm. That's the way.
Wait, I have one more thing. I saw a YouTube comment, and I found no proof of this, but in speaking, you know...
Oh, I know exactly where you're going, but continue.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We all found it. This is from Lord Vader 0727, who has a little Ewan McGregor, a little avatar. Me and my friends were at Universal the other day, and during the show, Barney started whipping and nay-naying, and it was hilarious.
Yes,
and
I saw this
from a few months ago, right?
Yes, when did this happen?
I don't,
how can we find footage of this?
I was looking for it too. I also saw that comment, and it's the Beetlejuice show. At least that happened when that was popular.
Yeah. Why whipping and nay-naying today?
Yeah.
Well, I would be thrilled if it said Barney did the Gangnam Style dance.
Oh, could you imagine?
But this is what I was talking about before. I want that in this show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I want him to floss. I want him to throw up a dab. I want him to do all of that. And the crowd's going to go wild for it. And then I want Riff to do the dab. And I want Riff to floss.
Mm-hmm. I guess that would also... make me.
You imagine Riff flossing. Everyone, calm down right now who's listening and close your eyes and imagine. I want you to do this, a thought exercise. Imagine he sets down his saxophone and then Riff starts flossing. How can you be mad at that?
Oh, in a theater in the round where he has to rotate to make sure every section of the audience gets to see him head on flossing. Mm-hmm. The beautiful park set. I like the set. I like the set in the theater. I think it's good. I think they did a good job on the sets on these. But Riff. Is there a Rip? Is there a Rip too? No, Riff flossing would be great.
Riff flossing is a blessing. No food in the world can compare to Riff flossing because spirit is involved. So give thanks. You survived, I guess, the ride with a second gate with a bunch of Barney stuff. I don't know. Do we all sing I Love You, You Love Me?
We could say just remember I love you.
Just remember. The hosts love you.
Just remember, I love you. You know what I mean.
And I love you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Mike Carlson, Jason Sheridan, Scott Gardner, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.